Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
How are you guys doing today? I'm excited to continue our series called Regular Heroes. Before I get into that, speaking about heroes, do I have any movie aficionados in here? Many movie fans? I know all my guys here are. And now is an awesome time to be a movie fan, specifically a superhero movie fan, because there are just so many awesome movies with superheroes in it right now or coming up. Just yesterday, they released this trailer for the Black Panther movie. I don't know if you guys know about this, but the Black Panther is just the baddest superhero ever. He's like Batman on steroids. Like he's got an indestructible suit. He's got all these super senses and super strength. He's like Spider-Man and Batman and Superman combined. So it is just an awesome time to be. You may disagree with me, but you know, not many people know about Black Panther, but you'll find out. Just wait. So it is just an awesome time to be a superhero fan right now. But, you know, I want to focus on just kind of regular heroes. That's what this series has been about. It's not about superheroes or people who do awesome things because they have awesome powers, but just regular people who chose to do what God called them to do and became a hero because they did that. And so today I want to preach about Ehud. Now, how many of you have heard about the man named Ehud? Like two people. Okay. Are you sure? If you've read your Bible, you probably know about him. If you want to, turn to Judges 3:12. That's where I'm going to start. And this is where we pick up in the story of Ehud. Now, in this time, Israel was ruled by the judges. That makes sense, the book of Judges, right? So Israel would sin, they would turn away against God, and then he would come. There'd be this king or this ruler that would come and dominate Israel and take over. And then God would raise up one of these judges to rule over Israel and get them out of bondage and slavery. So Ehud was one of those judges. And we pick up on his story in verse 12. And this is where it starts. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, so he's gathering all of these warriors around him, went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of Palms, which is the capital city of the tribe of Benjamin. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. So imagine if you have a 2-year-old son and he grows up and he's 20 years old, still serving the king of Moab. But the children of the Lord, children of Israel, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. But the children of Israel sent tribute. But the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. He raised up Ehud. By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. So basically, Ehud is like the servant who sends all these gifts and these tributes to Eglon, the king. So we pick up in verse 16. Now, Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length. Fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very fat man. The Bible said it. I didn't say it, but the Bible said it. He was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting his tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute. So they were leaving. But he himself turned back, Ehud, from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. The king said, keep silent. And so all the people left. And the only people left in the room are Ehud and King Eglon. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw out the dagger from his belly, and his entrails came out. Man, I love the Bible. Don't you guys love the Bible? Then Ehud went through the porch and shut the door of the upper room behind him and locked it. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he's probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited until they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the door of the upper room. Therefore they took the key, opened it. There was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Sarah. But Ehud, and as it happened, when he arrived, that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains and led with them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time, they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. So Moab was subdued that day under the children of Israel, and the land had peace for 80 years. Isn't that an awesome story? It's a real short story, but it's one of my favorite ones where God raises up this man named Ehud. Now, Ehud's kind of a weird name. I know I'm mispronouncing his name because I'm using my English to try and pronounce this Hebrew name. But Ehud, when it's translated, it means he who praises. He who praises. So God raises up a man who praises his name. Sometimes in our lives, our deliverance, our victories don't come until we praise God, until we live a life of worship towards him. See, everything's easy. It's easy to praise God when everything's good. I've got a good job. All my bills are paid. I've got a nice car. My health is fine. Everything's going smoothly. I can praise God. When everything's good, my praise is good. But then a recession hits. You get laid off. You're late on your car payment. They repo your car. You may lose something that's valuable to you. Somebody close to you may hurt you. And then you think, well, man, God, please fix this. God, please do something for me. But our praise isn't as good as it was when everything was all right for us. That's something we have to realize, is our deliverance doesn't come unless our praise is the same when it's good or when it's bad. We have to praise God no matter what. Whether it's good or it's bad, we praise God the same way. Now, what else can we learn from the story? Ehud was a left-handed man from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the tribe of Benjamin, Benjamin's name is literally translated into son of my right hand. Have you ever felt like a left-handed person in a right-handed tribe? You ever feel like you don't quite fit in where you are? You kind of stand out. You may be a little unique. You may get a little made fun of because you don't quite conform to society's norms. Well, can I tell you, that is where your strength lies, is in your uniqueness. Let me tell you that society wants you to conform to their way of thinking. They don't want you to be unique. They want you to be just like everybody else. Just fall in line and do this and follow this and say this and look like this and talk like this. And we always think, well, man, if I can just get the right clothes, if I can just get the right job, if I can take the right picture on Instagram so people can see my life and think, man, they must have an awesome life. And then everything will be all right. But let me tell you that your uniqueness is where your strength lies. Society wants you to conform, but God sees your uniqueness and he wants to use that. Just like the story of David and Goliath. How many of you are familiar with that story with David and Goliath? How David defeated Goliath. But what was the thing Saul, the king of Israel, what did Saul want David to do when he went into battle? He wanted to wear, Saul said, David, you wear my armor. That way you can fight just like I do, just like all of my other warriors do, and you'll be fine. But David said, well, no, I can't wear your armor. That's your armor, not mine. David wasn't used to fighting like a normal warrior. In reality, people always say that this story is, it's like David and Goliath. Like David was so weak and Goliath was so strong. But in reality, in the nation of Israel, people who used stones and slings were part of the army. They were long-range warriors. So in reality, David was the smartest one on the battlefield because he chose to use a long-range weapon against a short-range champion, Goliath. He chose to use his uniqueness when he was a shepherd who defeated lions and bears, and he chose to use that in the battle and defeated Goliath using his unique way instead of conforming to the way Saul wanted him to. That's what God calls us to do today. What did Ehud do next? Look in verse 16. It said, Ehud made himself a dagger. Now, why did he need to make a dagger? Was there not just one lying around somewhere, anywhere in Israel? Look at 1 Samuel 13:16. And it says it here. Saul, Jonathan his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned on the road to Ophrah, not Winfrey, but this is a different Ophrah, to the land of Shual. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon. And another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zeraboam. So this is basically them surrounding Israel. They've got enemies on every side. Now, why were the Philistines not afraid of the children of Israel? Look at verse 19. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. So if you were a ruler of a nation, and you decided one day, I want to conquer this opposing nation, what is the first thing you would do after you conquered them? Disarm them, right? You would take away their weapons. You would take away their ability to make weapons. Israel had a king. His name was Saul. Saul was a mighty man of war. He had killed many people. He had won many battles as a king. Samuel was Israel's prophet. He was called by God and did many great things for God. But the Philistines weren't afraid of Saul, and they weren't afraid of Samuel, because the men of war in Israel had no weapons to fight. They had no blacksmiths to make weapons. And this is why Eglon was so confident in his ability to rule over Israel, because he had taken all the weapons away from Israel. So that is why Ehud had to make for himself his own dagger. And that is why we need to recognize what we're doing in this present moment. You may think, why has God got me doing this? I don't like my job. I don't like what I'm doing. I hate my boss. I don't like my rate of pay. I don't like what I do. I don't know why. Here, we'll put it on Sunday. We'll give you a Sunday example. I don't know why I'm in kids' church. Like, I volunteered, and then I realized, you know, I don't really like doing this. But, I mean, I like working with kids, but it's not really what I thought it was. But maybe God has called you to do something right now that you don't really recognize as one of your strengths. But God's calling you to do that so that you can make a change in somebody's life. Maybe God wants you to work in kids so that you can make a change in these kids' lives. Maybe God has you at your job right now, even though you may not feel comfortable or you may not like the present moment you're in. God has called you to be there so that you can make yourself something to use in the future, so that you can bring change to someone else's life. That's what God wants you to recognize today. And so it says the children of Israel, after 18 years of bondage and slavery, they finally cried out to God to save them from this bondage. So God raised up Ehud. Now the Bible doesn't say, what did Ehud do for a living? For all we know, he could have been a fisherman. He could have been a blacksmith. He made his own dagger. He could have been a farmer. He could have raised crops or cattle. We don't know what Ehud did, but all we do know was that he was left-handed. How many people did God pass on before he came to Ehud? How many right-handed people that were kind of normal, that may have been better warriors than Ehud, that may have been smarter or more intelligent than Ehud, how many people did God pass on until he came to him? How many people said, you know, I'm okay with the way things are. I'm okay with being in bondage. You know, life's not that bad. Eglon, he may kill a few thousand people from my nation, but you know, my life's okay. My life's not that bad. I'm okay with the status quo. How many people did he pass over before he came to Ehud? Why did he choose Ehud? Because maybe there were just too many complacent, right-handed people. And see, the enemy is so used to our status quo, to fighting right-handed people. Now see, today, approximately 12% of our population in the world is left-handed. How many people are left-handed in the room right now? See, we've got one, two, three, four people in this entire room are left-handed. So, back in 1860, only 2% of the population was left-handed. So we can kind of deduce from that information that even further back when the children of Israel were in this situation, that it was kind of very rare to be left-handed. And some societies, it was a curse to be left-handed because it was just so different. And you were looked down upon or a second-rate citizen because you were left-handed. And just imagine, as Ehud was growing up, when he went through all of this training, and as he was being raised under this bondage and slavery, how many people looked down on Ehud because he was left-handed? But let me tell you that his left hand was his strength. And that's what God used. Now see, he had a dagger, but he didn't put it on his left side. Now see, when people were used to fighting back in those days, you would keep your sword or your dagger on your right side. On your left side, because you would want to use your right hand, because swords were fairly long. And so you would take your sword off of your left side. So we could probably guess that the guards checked his left side very thoroughly and didn't find any weapons. So they said, okay, he's good. He's clean. But God knew from the moment Ehud was born that he'd be used for something great, and he would bring freedom to the children of Israel. So he used his left-handedness, and he freed the children of Israel through that. What else does the right thigh signify in the Bible? One, it helped Ehud surprise his enemies and gave him advantage over them. But it also stands for another thing, this right thigh. Look in Genesis 24:2. So Abraham said to his oldest servant of the house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, my right thigh. The right thigh signified a covenant or a promise that you would have with someone. That's what God is calling us to do. Is we may be left-handed. We may be not be able to conform to what society thinks a Christian should look like. You may think, well, I was raised in church, but I never really followed all of these religious rules, and I always stuck out like a sore thumb. I was a left-handed person in a right-handed tribe. I didn't really know how to fit in with church people. But I knew I loved God. And I knew God wanted to use me. That's what God wants to use. He wants the left-handed people. People who may not fit the status quo of what a Christian should look like. But that's what we need today. That's who God calls us to be today, to still have that covenant with him, saying, even though I may not look like a real American Christian, God still wants to use me, and God still wants to use me as a vessel of love to all the people around me. That's what God is calling us to do today. Why don't you stand with me? See, I know I felt like Ehud so many times in my life. I felt like everyone else was so good at what they do, and I was just a left-handed person who was looked down upon or didn't really get everything right. I didn't get all of the rules correct. I didn't always win, but I knew God loved me, and I knew God wanted to use me. And I wasn't so eloquent with my words, and I wasn't always the charismatic one who could always get people to follow them and do all of these things. But God still wanted to use me in my sin and in my imperfection. God called me. And in the same way, God is calling you today. So why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? God, just like you used Ehud, who was a nobody in his tribe, who was promoted to this head servant, who had an audience with the king, God, so have you called us and want to use us. God, today we say yes. And you may be thinking today, you know, I've kind of been around church my whole life. I've heard about the story of Jesus Christ. Basically, all it is, the gospel is this simple story. Jesus was God, and we were separated from him by sin. So God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, so that a way could be made to heaven. And in return, the only thing Jesus asks for is our life. That's all he says, is my life for yours. So if you say today, I feel just this tug on my heart. I feel like today I want to choose to say yes to God's gift that he has given me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.